Senate Committee on Veterans and Emergency Preparedness will come to order. Madam Vice Chair.
First of all, I'd like you to say, I went and saw the movie The Sapphires last night or the night before, I forget when. It's a true story which follows some Aboriginal girls from Australia and how they were performers in the Vietnam War. And I would encourage everyone to see that movie. I just, it brought tears to my eyes when I saw downtown Saigon and the rice paddies. That brought back a lot of memories, but I think I would just recommend that. And Senator Courtney, do you want, well, he was the one that recommended to me, and he just had said that it was a very outstanding movie. It's called The Sapphires, and I think the last showing is tonight at the Salem Cinema. The portrait that I've chosen from Women Combat Veterans is actually from Sergeant Catherine Broom, who's from the Virginia Army National Guard. And she writes, "I'm still uncomfortable talking about things to people who have no idea. People ask inappropriate questions. People think that just because they've seen a movie or read a book that they know how to talk to me. The only time I can discuss it and be completely at ease is if I'm talking to someone who was right there with me. When I first came back, I would end up leaving parties or walking out of situations because you would meet someone for the very first time and the first question out of their mouth would be, 'How many dead people did you see?' My life completely forked off of the original trail that it was going down, and it completely flipped my world upside down. I'm grateful for it. I think I'm in a much better place now. I'm definitely changed. I have a shorter fuse. I tolerate less. I see things more in black and white. There's less gray for me. The whole experience is with me wherever I go. I can't leave it behind. It's in every new relationship I build. It's affected every old relationship I had. Everything I read, everything I see, I can relate to some aspect of my deployment. I've been back for 8 months, and for some reason, I just thought that by now it wouldn't be as big as it is inside of me. But if anything, I feel like it just gets bigger. Sometimes it just overpowers things." Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Madam Vice Chair. Colleagues, we're going to pretty much go down the schedule we have in front of me, with the only exception, if the good Representative Matthews will indulge me, we're going to open up a quick public hearing on 2789. It'll be carried over again to next week. And the reason being is that we're trying to get the entire cast of characters in the room on 2158, so everybody hears everybody at the same time. And I know Senator Olson's still on his way. I know OUS has still got people on their way. And we want to make sure we have this perfect on 2158 before we go down through it. And so if the good chair will indulge us for a few minutes, then so what we'll do is first is we'll open a public hearing on 2789, and then the two work sessions we are going to do for the public record is 2037A and 3494, which has an A to it too. We will open a work session and briefly discuss and bring everybody up to speed on 2083, but we don't have all the paperwork. So in the end of the day, the only two bills we'll be doing work sessions are 2037A and 3494 because of paperwork. With that, colleagues, I'm going to go ahead and open a public hearing on 2789.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, House Bill 2789 was previously heard on the 9th of this month. It requires schools to drill and instruct for safety threats, including lockdown procedures, twice per year. Declares an emergency effective July 1st, 2013. There are three sets of amendments. The Dash 3 is the most recent iteration. Basically refining the existing bill to clarify the number of drills. It could have been interpreted a couple of different ways, and to update the duck cover and hold language to the current language, which is drop cover and hold on.
That's cool.
Okay, and so in a nutshell, Council, just to make sure, in 2789, we've put all the conforming language from other bills that have come through and from the committee. We're waiting for additional documentation for it, and then we'll actually do those amendments and that fiscal and that revenue and that work session next week. Is that correct?
That's correct. We're missing just the fiscal.
Okay. Madam Vice Chair, any comments? Olson, any comments? Is there anybody that wants to speak on 2789 that just walked in the room? Okay. With that, colleagues, I'm going to go ahead and close the public hearing on 2789. And just for a refresher, that'll be carried forward to next week. We're going to, I see one person from OUSH back there. So we're going to go ahead and open a public hearing on House Bill 2158A. Council, if you'll tee us up, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, 2158A was previously heard on May the 9th. It requires public universities and community colleges to charge in-state tuition of undergraduate veterans discharged from service under conditions other than dishonorable. If specified criteria are met with regard to elementary or secondary school attendance, requires no more than in-state tuition plus half the difference between the resident and non-resident rates be charged by public universities and community colleges of any veteran discharged under dishonorable conditions, graduate or undergrad, declares emergency effective on passage. The members will also notice a number of amendments that deviate from the A engrossed version of 2158, starting with A8, which we had available last time, the replacement of the measure with Senate Bill 820, all the way through the most recent version, which is also available at the dais, which are the A15s. With a couple of exceptions, each set of amendments represents a progression where tweaking occurred all along the way. The replacement of the measure with the dash A8s, first of all, charges in-state tuition for veterans, all honorably discharged veterans, and then that was slightly altered when we hit the dash A12 after a work group meeting on Monday, May 13th. This required the public universities and community colleges to charge in-state tuition for undergraduates with either an honorable discharge or a general under honorable discharge without regard to residency. That was modified, the residence requirement, in later iterations to require physical presence because of the rules that govern the residency determination. So the in-state tuition for undergraduates with a showing of physical presence within the first 12 months of enrollment, and then the addition of, we have an existing tuition waiver program for dependents of deceased or 100% disabled veterans. And within that existing program, we're expanding it to cover dependents, children only, not spouses or surviving spouses, of Purple Heart recipients. And there were some clarifications to remove reference to the Chafee Grant that's not applicable, to clarify the definition of a Purple Heart recipient, and to make the entire package applicable to students enrolled from September 15th, 2013 forward, the fall term forward. And if I've missed anything, I'm sure that the guests will fill in.
Okay, so colleagues, members of the public, what we're going to do is get Senator Olson and then Representative Matthews to walk through the work group. This is still possibly a living document. Who knows whether there's T's crossed, dots eyed, where we're at. The goal is to have it in this hearing, is to get all the information we have together, make sure we're all on the same sheet. Hopefully then we get the final fiscal and all that stuff so we can move the bill next week. And so with that, I'm going to first let Senator Olson tell us about the work group, then I'm going to let Representative Matthews tell us where Senator Olson isn't right or is right, and then we're going to let OUS tell them where they're both wrong or they're both right, and then we're going to get everybody else is in here up so that we can get this finalized right here. So we're having a large work group in a public hearing. So, Senator Olson.
Thank you, Chair Boquist, Vice Chair Mona Sanderson, members of the committee. My name is Alan Olson. I am a senator. I represent Senate District 20, which is the heart of Clackamas County. This bill has come a long way, and it's taken a while to get there. But it's the collaboration of all the groups put together, all the stakeholders, to make certain that A or 1, the bill did what it was supposed to do, B or 2 did not have a tremendous impact on anyone other than who it was supposed to impact, which was the veterans. So what we came up with in this dash A15, we did some changes, and we said that you either have to have an honorable discharge or a general discharge under honorable conditions. That did two things. One, from 2158 said anything other than an dishonorable discharge. So we actually narrowed the focus a little bit to those soldiers that have honorable or general discharge under honorable conditions. So we narrowed the pool a little bit. We also made a change to the bill that said that you must have a physical presence in Oregon. In other words, you will become an Oregonian. And that's within 12 months of being enrolled in the university system. From the good senator, Senator Mona Sanderson, had talked about putting in a Purple Heart provision, which was absolutely appropriate. So we added a Purple Heart provision in there so that if you are a child of a Purple Heart recipient, you can also receive in-state tuition. It's a good program, well thought out. But we did have a couple questions this morning because when we incorporated in Section 2, we pulled the readings from 351-656, and that dealt with 100% disabled or the death of a service person, and who would get tuition waiver for that. We thought there was a problem with the spouse, but we have LC has informed us that it is clearly qualified in here that the spouse in the death situation would still get free tuition to our schools, and we've defined the child of a Purple Heart recipient. This has been worked through at all levels. Representative Matthews has been absolutely amazing in the work he's done on the House side, along with Representative Huffman, who has helped us at the university level. He understands the financing. And so with that, I'd say that the 2158-A15 is the product of a lot of hard work, and it's going to be great, absolutely great, for the state of Oregon to have this bill pass.
Okay, Representative Matthews, good chairman of the House Veterans Committee. If you shoot his horse right here, it's not going to be very good, but go on.
That's okay. Chair Boquist, members of the committee, for the record, Greg Matthews, State Representative, House District 50, which is Gresham. And yes, it's been a privilege to work on this group to identify what 2158 could be. And I would say it hasn't taken long. It was actually a fairly quick study as a result of your leadership, Mr. Chair, and the leadership from Senator Olson. What we have now is a product, I think, that produces a very minimal fiscal. I mean, I want to be clear about the point that for the Purple Heart portion, we would love for that to cover spouses. We really think that would be great. It's not ideal, though, to the impact of the cost to the universities. However, children are something that they had offered up, and OUS had said we could make that work within what we're trying to do with the seven universities. I think in the end, the bill is great. I think it does give the veteran a chance to prove residency within the 12 months. That was certainly something we wanted to do, is let the veterans come to Oregon and then prove their intent in residency. Also, the requirement that there's, the soldiers in the seat is important, that they had to have physical presence in the classroom. And again, all that's identified in the Dash 15s, and it's odd to think of a bill that we sent over here that looks nothing like this now. But this was the intent all along, quite honestly, to get there. I will say we had discussion about last dollar, first dollar, middle dollar, and one of the one of the real sticking points was that we did not want to remove dollars from the veterans that were earmarked for cost of living and other expenses. We were very concerned about that. I think everybody at the table was, well-intended and concerned as well. And I think we finally got a fix that gets to a point where I think the ODVA is very supportive. I think OUS will be supportive. I certainly am, as having sponsored the bill that came here. And again, really appreciate your leadership and Senator Olson's involvement and Senator Mona Sanderson and everybody involved. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Well, Bridget, it's raining outside, so can you give us some sunshine?
I'm happy to. Chair Boquist, members of the committee, for the record, Bridget Burns, Chief of Staff of the Oregon University System. I'm happy to speak to you in support of House Bill 2158-A15. The current amendments, the current assessment, based on the Dash 15 draft amendment, is that we're looking at a minimal fiscal that is absorbable by our institutions. The key element in eliminating the fiscal for the non-resident veterans was making it effective with new admits beginning in the fall of 2013. We therefore did not have to consider the lost revenue from our currently enrolled non-resident veteran population and those not yet graduating. The distance education exclusion is also important to avoid non-resident vets residing in other states from enrolling in a distance education program and forcing us to pay for another state's licensing fees. So we're very happy with that provision. Finally, with the Purple Heart piece, for the Purple Heart component, the major factors in keeping the fiscal to a minimum, and therefore absorbable, was the utilization of the middle dollar applicability that allows to the universities and qualified students to benefit from available federal and other resources before the waiver, and limiting the population to dependents of Purple Heart recipients. We feel that we are very comfortable with this legislation, that it's an appropriate compromise that both advances the needs of the veterans students that we serve through a variety of programs, and it also balances our needs to manage our finances and not incur additional costs. So we're very comfortable with the Dash 15 amendment going forward.
Madam Vice Chair?
I'm just very excited how this evolved, and the fact that you were able to incorporate the Purple Heart veteran dependent limiting it to children was fine with me, because that was my original intent. And Sergeant Ken Huber, when he had Skyped me and talked to me about, he's in the Philippines right now, and his two twin, a boy and a girl, are due next month, in July, but he will be in the Philippines. But he was saying that's what his intent was for the children. And so I thank you very much for incorporating this, and to the chair for allowing me to be able to put it into this bill, because if he hadn't told me about this bill, I wouldn't have known that we had the possibility to work this session. So thanks to everyone and all their good work, and I'm excited about it.
Courtney? Thank you, and good chair. Our intent is to post it for a work session next week, get the final paperwork. There are a couple other people that want to come up and testify, but the intent is to move it back to you, and it'll be in your hands again.
Absolutely, Mr. Chair. Look forward to receiving it, and our intent will be to, again, concur to the amendments. And, Mr. Chair, I'd be remiss if I didn't say what an outstanding job Ms. Ross has been doing on this particular issue. Just amazing, and thank you for her great work, too. Thank you.
Well, we're not at the Nike at 68 minutes. We're at 15, so we are getting there. So
yes.
Thank you very much.
We're there.
Mr. Sansui, if you'd come up, and there's two other chairs. If there's anybody else that would like to testify on House Bill 2158A.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, Vice Chairs and Committee. For the record, my name is Mark Sansusi, the Department of Defense Regional Liaison for the Northwest. We are here to express Department of Defense support for 2158A up through and including Amendment 15. I'd like to thank you all for your leadership and perseverance in sticking with this one from what it was. As far as we're concerned, the Purple Heart's a bonus, because that was not something we were seeking. I'd like to thank Ms. Ross for walking me through Amendments 8 through 15, so I would understand it as a layperson, and we're good with all of it. It excludes graduate school, which we would have liked, but given all the compromises made at this point, then so be it. But thank you for sticking with it, and thank you for providing veterans who fought for all 50 states the ability to move to Oregon and be a duck or a beaver or anyone else and not have to pay out of pocket in that first year, that difference between in-state and out-of-state rates. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can you refresh my memory? How many states have this now?
I had posted testimony, which I wanted to make this short, but we're at a point where Virginia, Indiana, and Maryland have enacted it. There's a bill on Governor Nixon's desk in Missouri, so that will be 23 states at this point. There's still a few more out there, but in effect, 23 states, and be thrilling to have Oregon be in that group offering this incentive. Thank you.
Thank you. Other, Madam Vice, your question? Mr. Olson?
No. But thank you for your support on
thank
this.
You.
Courtney, questions? Well, thank you very much. Appreciate that. And again, this will be carried forward for work session next week. Since no one else has jumped up to race up here, we're going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2158. And we're going to drop down into work sessions, which there are three, two of which will actually move bills, one will be carried over. We're going to go ahead and open a work session on House Bill 2037A. Council, if you would, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2037A was previously heard on May 9th. It has no revenue impact, a minimal fiscal impact. It instructs health professional regulatory boards to license a spouse or domestic partner of active service members. Requires qualifying spouse or domestic partner to show competency and 1 year teaching or providing services in the past 3. Allows health professional regulatory boards to issue temporary licenses under certain circumstances. Directs Teacher Standards and Practices Commission to establish a rule expediting licensure for military spouses or domestic partners of active service members. Requires military spouses or domestic partners to be licensed to teach in another state and subject to military transfer to Oregon, declares emergency effective on passage. If the members will recall, the chair instructed that the medical board, the nursing board, and the TSPC be contacted, and they all were, and they all replied via email. The medical board had no concerns. The nursing board was supportive, and the Teacher Standards Practices Commission actually hadn't been aware of the A engrossed version, but had no difficulty with compliance and no objection. And those were posted on OLIS as part of the supplemental materials for today.
Okay, thank you. Vice Chair?
Chair Boquist, I move House Bill 2037A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Madam Vice Chair, Monis Anderson moves House Bill 2037A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion, Madam Vice Chair? Senator Cordy?
No.
Senator Olson?
No.
Seeing no discussion, please call the roll.
Senator Cordy?
Yes.
Senator Olson?
Yes.
Senator Monis Anderson?
Aye.
Senator Boquist?
A chair votes aye. The motion passes, and I'll go ahead and carry the bill. And with that, we'll close the work session 2037A, and we'll open a work session for just bringing us, for the purpose of bringing us back up to speed on 2083A. Madam Counsel?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2083A was previously heard on May 16th as on the underlying A engrossed version. It has no revenue and no fiscal impact. An A2 amendment was received, and that deletes certain provisions regarding telecommunications services and instead makes reference to the Service Members Civil Relief Act on the termination of telephone service contracts. It replaces the state language with reference to the federal language. The bill permits service members to suspend or terminate telecommunications services, internet services, television services, health spa services, and health club exercise or athletic activities via written notice and other certain other conditions if they've been deployed.
Okay, again, committee, we don't have all the paperwork here, but I'm going to get first Richard to throw himself on the coals here, and then Mr. Dewey to bail him out, if you would, please.
Thank you.
Your amendment.
Mr. Chair, Richard Kosasan with Verizon Wireless, and I apologize for some time past the 11th hour, but it was brought to my attention the first of the week that, as drafted, there seemed to be some type of conflict with the federal act found at 50 U.S.C. 535A, dealing specifically with military service and telecommunications. So the purpose of the amendment in terms of 2083A2 is to simply try to conform the state law with the federal law, and that's the extent of it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Mike Dewey representing the Oregon Cable Telecommunications Association. We support the original bill. Mr. Kosan told me about the amendment yesterday. And so I've been thinking about this amendment, and perhaps we would have some time to think about the conflict that it may present. I'm not saying it does. And I say that, and I'm just thinking through this in my mind, that we are expanding the services that can be suspended or terminated, which are beyond the federal act, as I understand. And I, in the sense that the federal act in part deals with cell phone service and being able to suspend that or terminate that if you're going on active duty, makes sense, and you have a time to do it so you don't have a backlog of bills and the like. You've heard the testimony previously. In that so many people bundle services, telephone service, which I think applies on the federal side, internet service and video service, we may have a conflict between the provisions of this 90-day requirement and 30-day requirement in the proposed bill before you, the Dash A. And I may be way off base, but I just want to be sure that there's not one requirement for one set of services and a different requirement for another set of services. I don't know if that was very eloquent in terms of what I was trying to present, but we have some time, and I just want to work through that. And he may.
Right, as I mentioned, we're not going to do a work session that's built on next week, so if you and Mr. Kosasan wanted to get together and then touch base with council to make sure that we're on the same sheet of music or we're not on the same sheet of music, that's perfectly fine. Yeah. Madam Vice Chair, any questions? Senator Olson, any questions?
I do not. No questions?
Okay, gentlemen, if the two of you want to compare notes, make sure we're going in the right direction. Council is available for you. We're going to do a work session of one form or the other.
We want this bill to go forward.
Yeah, so anyway, I don't see a problem with it.
Thank you.
And with that, again, we're going to carry this bill over to next week. So we're going to close the work session on House Bill 2083 and open a work session on House Bill 3494. Council, if you would, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3494 directs the Department of Transportation to erect and maintain roadside memorial sign for Tyrone Woods on route or in Route 213 near Milepost 2 and to collect a fee for that purpose. This bill was previously heard on May the 16th, including its Dash 1 amendment for a Fallen Hero roadside memorial sign for Adam Buys on Highway 22 near Milepost 20. There's no revenue impact and a minimal fiscal impact on the Dash 1s, and wanted to make sure that that was on the record. The measure that would have been more appropriate content-wise for Mr. Buys moved out of this committee and included a certain number of names, and in order to avoid a conflict with both bills passing, because the relating clause was too narrow to accommodate Mr. Buys, almost all of that language from the other bill is imported into this one, and they should mesh seamlessly and include all of the intended, the young men who are intended to receive signage.
So I do have a question since you raised it. Will there need to be conflict resolution in the final bill? And we do it the
Because okay. They've been worded that way. They made a very lengthy amendment, sir, but that was the reason why.
Madam Vice Chair. Chair Olson, for discussion?
No.
If you would please, Madam Vice Chair.
Chair Bokos, I move to adopt the Dash 1 amendments dated May 13, 2013.
Madam Vice Chair Montes-Anderson moves to adopt the Dash A1 amendments dated 13 May 2013. Any discussion? Seeing none, so ordered. Madam Vice Chair.
Chair Bokos, I move House Bill 3494 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Madam Vice Chair Montes-Anderson moves House Bill 3494 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Madam Vice Chair, Senator Courtney, Senator Olson. Roll call, if you would, please.
Senator Courtney.
Yes.
Senator Olson.
Aye.
Vice Chair Blums Anderson.
Aye.
Chair Bokos.
Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Carrier, Senator Olson will be designated as the carrier on the floor. With that, we're going to close the work session on House Bill 3494. Council, just to check my list here, next week we're going to wrap up 2158. 2789 with the paperwork, and then 2083. Is that not correct?
Yes, sir.
And I think that's it for next week. Right. So we have three bills left that we're moving. Appreciate everybody's hard work.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Madam Vice Chair.
Is there any way that staff could get a list of all of the veteran bills that we passed out? And this would be...
Yes, not a problem. We can, staff can, or council can do that, put it together and email it to everybody.
Believe it or not, there are some veterans that want to know what we did, so.
It's a good thing. Sometimes we want to know what we're doing.
And I would love to have one list. I could have my staff do it, too.
Actually, it'd be good for the rest of us, I think, because we have kind of a running list that we're also comparing. I'll also remind members that we did combined together the list that went down to Joint Ways and Means and a priority list and copied stuff that went downstairs. So everybody should have seen that. And with
but I'd like to know which, Mr. Chair, what actually passes at the,
right.
at the very end. That's what I'm most interested in. I don't want to share stuff that never got through this system.
We're still hopeful in Joint Ways and Means.
I know.
Any other discussion? If there's no discussion, we're done for the day.